Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This reading from 1 Corinthians 9 has been the proof text used to justify all sorts of shoddy pastoral practice. One could say even some shoddy deaconess practices. From open communion to performing marriages with no questions asked to one session confirmation experiences to unionistic worship, this text is where pastors have discovered the blanket that covers all pastoral practice sins. I have become all things to all men, that I, by all means, save some. If one looks at this text in its context, however, there is no blanket here under which we can hide shoddy pastoral or deaconess practice. Quite the opposite. Paul is addressing the Corinthians congregation and the problem that grows from the challenges that come when Christians exercise their freedom in their own self-interest. In the verses leading up to our reading, Paul argues that he could demand a salary, he could exercise that right, but he made no use of this right in his own self-interest. Even though Paul was not obligated to this congregation through salary provisions, and thus he was free to exercise his vocation as he desired, he exercised this freedom by making himself a slave of all. In his own words, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I win more." Paul exercised his Christian freedom by taking up the posture of one who serves. This does not mean he did whatever people demanded, but he did do whatever people needed. To the Jew, he became a Jew. After his conversion, he didn't stay away from the synagogue, but rather he went first into the synagogues as he entered the city in order to win fellow Jews, to engage them, to proclaim to them. To those under the law, he became as one under the law. He was well aware of the practices of those who looked to the law in order to order their life, and so we see him when he comes back to Jerusalem towards the end of his life, submitting to James' request that he purify himself in the temple. To those outside of the law, he became as one outside the law. He didn't wear his Jewish ethnicity on his sleeve, but led a mission to the Gentile world. To the weak, he became as one who is weak. By refusing the patronage of the wealthy as an apostle, Paul lowered himself to the status of the weak in that society, working with his hands for a living. Paul did not let his own education, his own social status, or his apostolic authority construct barriers in reaching out to various people. He was a servant, a slave to all. Why humble himself, putting aside his own self-interest in such a way? Twice in our text, these few verses, he says, in order to win more. He was so concerned with the salvation of others that he did not look to his own interest. To use his own words from our text, "I did it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." In these actions, Paul is simply living out the baptismal life in Christ through his apostolic vocation. In Jesus, we see one who came to seek and to save the lost. In Jesus, we see one who exercises his greatness in serving all, being the slave of all, even though his service demanded the ultimate sacrifice, giving his own perfect life in the place of selfish sinners like you and me. This Jesus not only pardons all of the things done for in our own self-interest and for our own self-gratification, but he also gives his new way of thinking through our baptism to us freely, through our baptism into him. That's why Paul could write to the Philippians, "Let each of you look not only to his own self-interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Christ died to all self-interest in order to save the world. Pastors, deaconesses who are called into ministry certainly also die to their self to live to Christ. Being truly missional does not mean compromising your message or your practice. Rather, it does mean constantly compromising your own ego and self-interest in order to serve all who are in your care. Take Thelma, for example, who suffered from the do not throw anything away syndrome. For those of you who look forward to celebrating the Lord's Supper in a chasuble at a beautiful marble altar surrounded with glorious music, remember, the Lord is also calling you to celebrate the sacrament in homes like Thelma's. I remember my first trip into her house on a shut-in call. I had been warned, but I could not believe what I saw. Things were so stacked up in her house, you could no longer see the floor or any furniture. The garbage, the cats, the newspapers all over. Yet she was one of God's children, needing the life of Christ as she lived in her own disorderly world. So there we celebrated the sacrament. I could not solve Thelma's many problems, but I could absolve her, knowing that Christ filled her life with hope in the midst of its messiness. And there was John. A nurse had called our church office early Sunday morning. I received the message as I was going from Bible class to the late service that there was an older man in the hospital who desired baptism. My first thought was that he had waited this long, he could wait a little longer, at least till I was done with the late service, then had a nice lunch, then had a nap, then I would get to the hospital. Fortunately, in the midst of my own grumbling, after the late service, I grabbed a crystal bowl, baptismal napkin, and headed to the hospital more out of obligation than altruistic living out of my ministry, only to find John very close to death from cancer. He had never been baptized, but in this time he had planned to indeed go to his wife's church, be baptized in that church. But things had deteriorated much more rapidly than expected. I sensed from his labored breathing that the time was very short, so I immediately had a brief baptismal service with his family gathered around around his bedside. As we were closing that service in prayer, John took his final breaths and in his baptismal grace was ushered into eternal life with Christ. You do not choose where or whom to minister. Christ makes you a slave of all to win more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.